Mick Renneisen, he's the deputy mayor of the city of Bloomington.
Well, hello, Mick. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Glass. Good morning, Keith. I'm glad my Cubs staved off elimination last night.
Yeah.
You know, Javier Baez hit two home runs last night. I didn't know he was 0 for 21 before that. No wonder why the little bit of the struggle there.
None of the Cubs hitters are hitting, but a lot of that's got to do with great Dodger pitching.
And when you get to this part of the year, good pitching usually beats good hitting. Look at the Cubs last night, only gave up two runs, win the ball game. That's the key. So Cubbies tonight. Who gets the ball tonight for them? Who's going?
That's a good question. I don't know who's pitching tonight.
Well, it can't be Hendricks.
Oh, I know Quintana.
It's got to be Quintana, pitching. Right, because that's he went in
Quintana
game.
Quintana against Kershaw again.
Ooh, tasty matchups. The other thing that's weird is the golf is in Korea this week, and you watched that probably at 10 o'clock last night if you were flipping back from the Cubs game. It's bizarre to see the wake up and have the round be over, but a brand-new golf course in Korea. So we'll talk more golf as the season moves on. But we've got plenty to do at the city level. You are big winners in the lawsuit department. Tell me about what we learned yesterday afternoon. Frank Nardi, the special judge in charge of all of this. Give me the translation from the legal mambo jahambo on what this is moving forward.
I will explain it from my layman's perspective, since that's what I am.
To my layman's ears, it's a good combination.
Yeah, so the city had to choose in its lawsuit who to sue, and it's not real clear in the law how you sue the state legislature. In fact, it's my understanding you really can't sue the state legislature as a body. So we selected Governor Holcomb, and the state said, well, you can't sue the governor, and so Judge Nardi said, yes, that's the appropriate party to sue. Now, mind you, he didn't take the action. He signed the legislation. So that's why we chose that path. So this just means that the lawsuit can continue. And now the state has an opportunity to appeal Judge Nardi's decision for 30 days. And, you know, none of this is eminently going to be settled one direction or the other. This is going to be a probably significant time period, could be a year or more before we really know the final results of the lawsuit.
Mick, for the benefit of those of us who are really confused now, the $100,000 to not be annexed, and then the city has got permission to go ahead and annex, I'm confused. What's going to happen in this?
Well, the lawsuit decision that was made by Judge Nardi does not say the city has the authority to continue to annex.
You're just suing the right person.
It was a technicality, right? So the state said, now you can't sue the governor. So, therefore, dismiss the case, Judge. And the judge said, no, they can sue the governor, and so the case can proceed. So the case has not been decided yet. It just means it can now continue to proceed.
But the city is on record for going ahead and taking the $100,000.
Yes.
Yes. And so citizens in our area might recall that there was a Westside Industries payment in lieu of taxes agreement for decades.
1979 that started.
Yeah, 79 to 2012 when it expired. And this is essentially a very similar agreement, just made with one company in this case. And the previous document that was created for the Westside Industries included Otis Elevator and Westinghouse and GE and a whole bunch of the manufacturing plants that none of those exist anymore. So it expired in 2012. Even during the annexation discussions, we were having this conversation with Cook. Does it make sense for you to be in the city? If not, tell us why. And we were going back and forth. Then the lawsuit proceeded as the annexation was halted by the government, the state. And we continued our discussions with Cook throughout that path, which is what I want to say we would have done with any other entities that the annexed areas, the seven proposed annexed areas, those discussions were going on with a variety of entities, businesses, neighborhoods, the county, and then the annexation legislation stopped all of that, although it hasn't stopped us from continuing to have discussions about annexation topics with some entities, and Cook was one of those. So this is a good agreement from our perspective. It's something that gives Cook the certainty it wants. Obviously, they're making a huge investment in the GE plant that we didn't know about when annexation discussions were going on. And it anchors Cook here for an indefinite period of time. It's going to create new jobs. And it's exactly the kind of agreement that the old Westside Industries agreement facilitated, and we think it's appropriate for Cook as well.
Another situation that came out through the city council was the food and beverage tax. You are, in essence, okaying that, but it's not yours to do. It's a county that needs to act on that, right?
Right. So the city council just passed a resolution encouraging the county to enact the tax because the county council, the fiscal body of the county, has to do that.
Okay.
The county asked us to weigh in on this, and so we said, well, would it be helpful if we passed a resolution from other elected officials, city council members, saying that the city endorses this, that the city thinks this is the right path to take? And they said yes. So there was discussion going on about, you know, would it be helpful if the city council passed a resolution? The county also wanted the city to pledge its share of the food and beverage tax, if it's enacted, for the construction, operation, maintenance of a expanded convention center. So we have a letter of intent that also was approved with this resolution that says, yes, we will pledge the city's share, whatever's collected inside the city limits in places that prepare food and serve beverages. That percentage will go towards the project. So we just wanted to give the county certainty that if you enact the tax, we will spend it on the expanded convention center.
The interesting question of all of this, and maybe I'm jumping the gun here, is if the city share is going to the project, is that city share going to the project to operate, manage, upkeep through the life of the project, or is that just that initial $37 million?
Well, it is for the life of the project. I think historically the existing convention center was just renovated. So it's 26 years old approximately, I think.
Okay.
And it was renovated several years ago, right at the time that the 20-year bond for the initial construction of the existing convention center expired. So, you know, buildings need to be refreshed and renovated, and maybe another expansion or extension of a project 20 years from now, if this goes through, will be necessary. So if you're suggesting or asking, should there be a sunset on the tax, not our call to make, but it doesn't appear like that's something that makes sense based on the previous history of operating and the current convention center.
Right, and then the other part of that is the day-to-day staffing, the upkeep, the operations of it. Who's going to pay for all of that? How does that
So that's already funded by the innkeeper's tax. The 5% innkeeper's tax pays 3% towards Visit Bloomington to promote and attract events to Bloomington for all types of events, from Lotus, Hilly 100, softball tournaments, fall foliage festivals, all the things that go on that are attractive tourist events and destinations now in Bloomington are promoted by Visit Bloomington. That's their function. And their salaries and the cost of advertising and so forth is all paid for by 3% of the innkeeper's tax. 2% goes to offset the debt, operations, and maintenance of the convention center. So that same 5% would be split going forward to do those two things. It would just be a bigger expanded convention center if the project moves forward. If there's an additional need beyond that innkeeper's tax support to operate and maintain, then the food and beverage tax, if enacted, would also support operations and maintenance. But its primary purpose is to construct.
Well, let me ask a dumber question because I excel in this department. You talked about bond for the first project. Why don't we simply bond this project?
There's no funding source that can support it. The 2% that's remaining for the innkeeper's tax for the current convention center only can support that size operation. It can't be bonded for, again, to be used to construct another $35 million project.
Okay, there you go. Connect the dots. People want to know the hows and whys. Well, there it is.
Should say there'll be way more public discussion.
This step
that the city council took is nothing more than encouraging and supporting
and officially sticking their names to it. No one can say they didn't sign up for this, or nobody could say, well, this was forced down our throat. No, you put your name on it, your name's on it, right?
And it was an opportunity for a couple more opportunities for the public to discuss it,
absolutely,
out for or against it. And that'll happen at the county level, you know, if and when the county council decides that it wants to consider their funding mechanism, this funding mechanism, as an option. I know they are refreshing the study that was done on funding sources for the convention center 5 years ago to see updated sources and uses of funds. I think they anticipate that work to be completed in a week or so, and then they'll have a meeting whenever it's appropriate for them to do that, to have a discussion about, is this the appropriate funding source? We think it is. That's what it was created for, but that's not our call. We just want to encourage our county colleagues to consider it.
And going 2 more weeks or 2 more months to make sure this is all right and all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. I don't think anybody's going to argue against that either. This should not be a hurry up and oops, we screwed something up project.
No, that's right. It needs to be carefully thought about.
Mick, there's in the city, you've got some trick-or-treat stuff coming up this weekend.
Yeah, now notice that we aren't obviously celebrating Halloween yet. That's Tuesday, the 31st of October, and the hours for trick-or-treating on that night are 5:30 to 8:30. But there are some parks and recreation events that preclude that, that are things that are themed to the Halloween season. So
yeah,
you
like candy-themed things.
Yeah, like you can go to a haunted house on ice at Skate and Scare at the Ice Arena this Saturday from 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So if you want to do that, admission $6 a person, $3 skate rental. You can also go to the trick-or-treat trail at RCA Community Park on this Saturday the 21st from 1 o'clock till 4 o'clock.
Perfect weather for that.
Pretty
perfect
much geared. Yep.
Weather.
Perfect weather. Thanks for that, Glass. Appreciate it.
My pleasure.
This event's pretty much geared for kids ages 1 to 10. Trick-or-treat stations run by favorite characters from movies, stories, and fairy tales, and that admission is $4 a child.
And you also want to let people know about the water discoloration based on testing.
Right. Fire hydrant maintenance program is currently underway by the City Utilities Department. Each week until further notice, there'll be crews out testing flow and performing necessary maintenance on fire hydrants in selected areas of our community. If you happen to get water pressure changes or your water's discolored, a couple simple tips to manage that. Just run your cold water until the discoloration clears and be careful not to wash your clothes. Limit your use of hot water until your cold water clears. So just a couple tips, and there'll be signage in your neighborhood if your water hydrants are being tested.
And your trash pickup, it's happening. We're in week number 3 here, but as we mentioned last hour to everybody, this is the week you can start getting refunds on your trash stickers. You can do that at City Hall.
That's right, and the crews are getting better and better at it. They're
practice, like hitting golf balls.
Yeah, well, different equipment. They're not picking it up by hand anymore. So they're learning how to make the new equipment work well and getting better at it every day. So
now
our residents are patient with us.
I'm down a couple to the big guy here on the trivia stuff. So hit us.
Well, here
with
you
it.
Go.
You seeking revenge, Keith?
Yeah, I think I need to.
Let me get my revenge socks on, Mick. All right, go ahead. We're ready for some trivia here on a Thursday morning.
Here's your first question. A special ribbon-cutting ceremony will be held at 3 o'clock this afternoon for the city's newest mural in People's Park. Local artist Eva Allen recently completed the work, which is entitled A, You, Me, Us, B, You Belong Here, C, You're a Part of History, or D, Art is Everywhere. What's the name of this new commissioned mural in People's Park?
I'll guess first with A. I usually go with C, but I didn't like C this week. I'm going with A.
I'm
going
to go with B, You Belong Here.
Keith is going to catch up. He wins this first question. It is You Belong Here.
Okay.
So we urge people to go out today for the ribbon cutting. It's a beautiful piece of art, and it's very Bloomington-ish. I think people will like it if you haven't seen it already as it's been going up. All right, second question. The mural on the west wall of the Bicycle Garage building welcomes visitors and residents with iconic images of, is it A, Bloomington's past, present, and future? Is it B, historic figures from Bloomington's arts and entertainment scene? Is it C, famous local sports legends? Or is it D, Cowboy Bob and Sammy Terry?
Well, since it's Halloween, it's obviously Sammy Terry and Cowboy Bob. Keith, I'll let you back into the proceedings. I'll say D.
He's throwing this contest.
I'm throwing it.
All right. Well, I don't know. I thought it was welcome or hello or something. So I'm going to go B.
Okay. It's actually A, Bloomington's past, present, and future.
I tried, Mick. I'm a giver. I'm trying to help out here.
He
had no clue. I guess figured I'd
get better than you so far.
What is that show? What was it called? Let's Be a Millionaire, where it was the 50-50?
Yeah.
It was almost. It was the 130-130. All right, let's do one more.
Final question. One of the Parks Department's most popular fall events is coming up this Saturday night at the Frank Southern Ice Arena. We just talked about it. This family-friendly event is called A, Skate and Scare, B, Skate and Snack, C, Skating with the Stars, or D, Holiday on Ice.
Well, since you just told us, that's an easy one. What happened to the pumpkin remember the pumpkin launching thing?
Does coming up in November. We'll talk about that at a coming up show.
Very nice, because obviously that's going to be after Halloween. We don't want that before Halloween.
You got to wait till
the old pumpkins are ready to go. The best part about the pumpkin launching competition is the rule book. You can't use gasoline you can't use this, and it's all this wonderful, you know, the propellants. You can't do this because you just have to do an old fashioned like Game of Thrones catapult, I guess, in all of this.
That's a good way to describe it. That's what they look like.
I can't wait to see that. Keith, say A.
All right, I'll say A.
All right, Keith wins.
It is Skate and Scare. Boo. Doors open at 6:45. Skating starts at 7.
RCA Park, Saturday 1-4 on Saturday. So here's what you do. You knock out RCA Park 1-4, and you go home and take that sugar nap, and then you get back on it at 7. Boom, right down there. You can just hang out in the city all day long.
There you go.
Mick, great job as always. We appreciate your time. We'll get caught up next week. We will start reminding people that about trash cans and recycle cans and all that stuff, yard waste, get your leaves to the curb. All that's going to be part of our season. We'll cover it all next Thursday, I promise.
Thanks, guys.